He's not right now. He didn't know if he was going to hop on or not.
So he may be missing. Susan.
Nobody's on.
Okay. Minutes for correction / approval for June 18th, 2024.
I have no corrections.
No corrections. No.
Take them as approved. New business. Item 1, PW 2024-53, Capital Improvement Projects Update.
All right, our typical quarterly summary that we provide to the committee. Want to highlight a few items in the memo, and then certainly you can take any questions that anybody may have. But the raw water main now is 100% complete as far as the installation of the water main, so that's an update as of a few days ago. Contractor really installed things quickly and efficiently, and everything went very well. And also the Road to Better Roads program, deconstruction finished up paving last week. So now they're working on crack sealing and other things like that to wrap up the contract restoration, but the paving is now 100% complete. And yeah, those were the main ones I wanted to highlight as far as significant updates since the memo was prepared. And like I said, be happy to address any questions.
I think I'd like to highlight that there's two pages of projects. Capital projects.
I guess my only question is for the 2024 Road to Better Roads with our pending item later on, is that part of that same package?
The change order?
Yeah.
Yeah, so the change order is related to the 2024 local road
program. Okay.
So that program hasn't started yet. That is with Builders Asphalt. There's actually a pre-construction meeting scheduled for tomorrow.
Okay.
And they're doing work adjacent to Whispering Meadows, basically right across the street.
Right.
That's why we're electing to suggest the change order to that contract.
Perfect. Do we have any update on when Conover's is going to be paved?
No.
Oh, from the township?
No, the township thought that it was supposed to be paved before ours was, before Country Hills and Garden Circle. So I will check back. They thought they were going to get paved before that.
Okay.
They're supposed to be May.
Yeah.
And we're now July, almost August. So I will check.
Other questions? We'll move on to item 2, PW 2024-54, quarterly bond and letter credit induction summary.
Yeah, typical updates, basically no action in the last quarter. So if you have any questions, I can address those, but no action. Certainly there will be some action between now and the next quarter as a couple things are on the agenda here coming up.
Okay. Item 3, PW 2024-55, Heartland Meadows, 1-year maintenance guarantee release.
All right, the City Council accepted the improvements in May of 23. The developer has completed all remaining punch list items, with the exception of a handful of lots. There's a sidewalk to be installed. They are providing a separate performance guarantee that's already on file. In fact, it's in the form of cash. With the city. So at this point, we are recommending a full release of the guarantee, which is listed in the memo, and recommend that we move forward in that direction.
Okay, I was a little confused here because it says in the memo the guarantee should not be released until the sidewalk security is in place.
The memo was issued before the cash deposit was made. It is now since been.
It is.
Yes, please. Correct. Okay. Yes.
Anything else? That can probably go on consent.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Item number 4, PW 2024-56, Winnedette Ridge Unit 2, consideration of acceptance.
Yeah, so the initial work is complete within this unit, and the developer has completed the punch list items. So we are recommending acceptance at this time. And then once the City Council approves the acceptance, then it starts the 1-year warranty period. I'd be happy to address any questions.
Okay. I'm good. That could probably go on consent as well. Item 5, PW 2024-57, Timber Ridge Estates Water Main Extension by the easement.
So the Timber Ridge Estates developments, you may recall there's been an agreement or two with them. One of their requirements is to run some water main along Route 126 to connect to a zone that requires higher pressure. So this easement is necessary for that water main extension, and the documents have been approved by the property owner, and the city does need to accept the easement. We are certainly recommending acceptance at this time.
Good.
No questions.
Okay. Let's put that one on consent as well. Seems straightforward. Hold on. Somebody has an issue. Item 6, PW 2024-58, 2024 Local Road Program Change Order Number 1, and this will be for Faxon Road.
Yes, so we just spoke about this a little bit with Matt's question earlier. So this is the local road project. As mentioned, that we're going to have a pre-construction meeting coming up tomorrow. Builders Asphalt will be starting work here soon and wrapping up work toward the end of October. This change order is consideration of adding in the Faxon Road work related to the Whispering Meadows settlement that was approved by City Council here recently. So the recommendation is to add this work to their project. They're doing work literally right across the street and increase the contract to allow them to do that. Contingent upon, of course, actually receiving the $760,000. So the value is slightly less than $600,000, which would leave approximately $180,000 to $160,000, excuse me, to do some of the storm sewer work that's still necessary in the Whispering Meadows.
Question.
So I'm happy to address any questions.
I'm just that if I read the subject, I would have realized it was a local road program.
So I apologize for that.
No, I don't have any questions, but since we're waiting on contingent money, I would say we'd probably put it on
regular agenda. Yeah, that's fine. So the remaining amount in type of sewer gutter work or whatever that you're going to need, is that going to be a Nuffy thing? Just
to do the storm sewer?
Yeah.
Probably not. We're estimating it to be a little bit more than that, but we kind of knew that going into it.
Okay.
So, yeah, the plan would be over the wintertime, take on that design. There's an easement we need to acquire and then construct it next year.
This is not the one that runs along the railroad tracks?
Yes.
It would be that storm.
Yes, that's the one.
Okay. Well, I'll put that on the regular agenda then. On item number 7, PW 2024-59, 2023 Water Main Replacement Contract A, Change Order Number 2, Final Balancing.
Yeah, we're ready to, we have the final quantities for this particular contract. This was the one that was near Craig's neighborhood with performance. So all items have been tallied up. We have the final quantities and the balancing change order results in a slight reduction of $3,300 and change. We're certainly recommending approval of this particular change order. I'd be happy to address any questions.
So we're pretty confident all the punch list items are taken care of. I haven't gotten any calls, so I'm assuming.
Yeah, as far as my staff is concerned, yes, we're close, if not complete. And this just finals out the quantities. And then we still have to do a final payment, but we won't make that payment until all those things are addressed.
Right. Okay. Yep. So is this the end of the warranty period too for that, or is there a warranty period after this for this?
In these particular contracts, there's a one-year warranty on materials, basically.
Okay.
So not every public improvement project has a warranty. For example, IDOT projects, they don't allow that if you're using IDOT funds. But in most cases, like water main replacement and things like that, we do have a clause in the contract for some warranty work.
Do,
So this is decrease, so let's just put it on consent. If you guys are okay with that.
Yeah.
Item 8, PW 2024-60, water audit update.
Yeah, so detailed memo in the packets, a couple pages with different pieces of information. But just to review, so with the Lake Michigan allocation and the proposed connection that's coming up in calendar year 28, the city is now required to do water audits every year. So we did not do one in water year 22 because we hadn't officially gotten the allocation yet. So now we're catching up, doing 2 years, and then we have to do them annually moving forward. So this memo summarizes water year 22 and water year 23. And as a reminder, the goal before we connect to Lake Michigan Water in calendar year 2028 is to get below 10%. So that's one of the requirements of our permit. So the city has been undertaking a number of different improvements to try to reduce some of that water loss. Certainly some of it is the water main replacement that we've been speaking about. IDNR required, like all pre-1980 water main, to be replaced. City was very aggressive last year, but very aggressive this year with replacing that water main. That's moving forward. Eric and Public Works have been hiring a firm to do leak detection. That's been ongoing for the last couple of years. They've identified a number of leaks, trying to tighten up the system, if you will. All that has been moving. And then Public Works has also been doing some master metering improvements and dialing things in at the water treatment plants, because you have to know exactly what's coming out so you can identify that. And very helpful in just having good data to be able to run these numbers. So the one thing that's been lagging thus far is replacing of the meters. That was part of the original plan to replace meters and different. Eric can speak to more detail on some of that. It's been planned, it's been budgeted. We haven't moved forward with that yet. So that's something we want to talk a little bit more about here in a second. But basically the results of the audit is the 22 water year, was a decent numbers. The 23 water year was jumping around a lot. And our staff is kind of questioning maybe some of the data that's coming from the meters. And I think it's rather suspect. So it's fine right now, not causing super high alarm bells, or raising the red flag, but it's good to kind of work these things out now. We have a couple of years to tighten these things up. And basically the recommendation is to really move forward with replacing of, I think it's 900 meters.
It's 1,251.
There you go.
Jack better give you a good price.
It's not Jack. It's Steve Cooper. It's our census meters. It's meters we have throughout town, so changing meters now would probably not be the best. And we did get a price, an updated price. It ends up being $748,000 for those 1,251 meters. That includes, though, the radio receiver on top for the top of the water tower. So the next go-around of meters that we have to replace, the price goes down by about $100 a meter.
So Eric, these meters are what, 15, 20 years old?
Minimum.
Okay. So, the older they are, the less accurate they are, the worse the data is, that we're all trying to tighten up. So,
they're from when Grand Reserve and Autumn Creek were built. Most of them are in those two subdivisions. And the walking route, the old walking route downtown, which could have meters probably 30 or 40 years old.
So that's, in a nutshell, the high level, kind of where we're at. Do you have plans to bring information?
Yeah, now that we have the updated information, we can start moving forward. Along with this, is we're looking for the billing software for the new program. So that will be a big assistance as well, but I'm working with Rob to make sure that he thinks it'll work with the new ERP system in total. So I do know that Tyler Muniz does make a billing system, so that would probably be a good one, because that's a big company that we've looked at, haven't we, Aaron, for the ERP.
We have to go back out to
right.
qualifications.
Right.
So there's probably a few questions. Fire away. Just gave a high-level overview. You know, we can come back with more information or address any questions. And as Eric mentioned, at a future meeting, he'll be bringing the meter proposal and some more data to us at that time.
So that was 1,251?
1,251 meters in this round.
And 768? Is that the right figure?
748. 748,233.
If I'm not mistaken, that's well within what was budgeted.
900 was budgeted.
Yeah.
So if you had to kind of guess, where do you think next year's numbers are going to come out? Are they going to be this level higher, or are we going to see another bounce downward? Is this something that was anomaly? Because it looks like we were doing okay, and then or getting close, and then all of a sudden a spike kind of. I was just, if there was something that you guys thought that, oh, this is probably why. So,
yeah.
It wasn't in last year's.
Right,
test.
Right.
I wish we did know for sure. I think we're trying to eliminate all of the, like, to get the good numbers coming out of the treatment plant is step one. So now we know we have good data going into the system. Now step two, to replace the meters to get accurate reads. So then we can just keep dialing in and do the leak detection, get rid of the leaky water mains once we've pumped the water. So we're just trying to eliminate all the problems.
So this really wasn't based like on some extra amount of breaks, water main breaks, or leaks that we knew about that developed?
No, we actually, this is our third year of leak detection, and each year it's gotten less and less.
Yeah, that's right. And then all of a sudden you see the spike.
You see the spike, so we're not sure. That's what we're trying to take out all those unknowns so we can kind of narrow everything down and get do away with it. And we've all known that we've needed to replace the meters. That's been something we've talked about for years.
Could it be attributed to maybe a bigger user that was off?
It would be off and then back on and then off. You know what I mean? It was up, then down, then up. So that's what we're wondering, if it is something in the meter reading, the billing software, if it's something in MSI. We're trying to just narrow it down.
So the meters at the treatment facility, are those updated?
Updated and tested, and they're all the mag meters, so they do the flow, mm-hmm. they do the sons on them. It's pretty neat. It's actually neat how they can do that, but...
Sure, it's
yes.
Kind of the same as we have.
Yeah, and yes, sure, everything is up to date and ready to go.
Okay. Kind of where I was thinking I was going with this was, could it be like, you know, Wrigley or one of the big fabrication places that would pull a lot more water, so if their meters were off there, that
Aurora
would...
Textiles.
Huh? Yeah, that was the other one I was thinking of, and I was trying to think where else could use a lot of water than...
Water park.
Well, that's one shot deal, and that's... Well, I guess it would show up in this year, right? So,
yeah, it shows up every year. They take it in May, their big shot, and then they use quite a bit throughout the summer.
How old's the water park's meters?
Oh, no, we replaced those. Oh. That was one of our first ideas, is replace.
Well, then there goes that idea, because that's what I was wondering, too, and then I'm trying
it's
to think.
Like, replace them again. We'll see.
They're big meters. I don't want it that expensive.
I mean, year over year before we had the drop in 2022, we were about 12%,
yeah.
Give or take, kind of an average. Yeah, we really think continue to, you know, do what we're doing, but then really start to kick in the gear to need a replacement.
So if this comes back to 14% next year, then what? Next time?
We have to look harder at that. I believe we could have a little bit, I can't remember the word Michelle used, or there's a company that will come in and
a third-party audit.
A billing audit.
Yeah.
So we can also look at that as well to make sure MSI is doing what it's supposed to do. Because I think MSI is probably stretched to the max. That's our billing software that we use currently.
Oh, so this could be a software error and not even a real
The meters do need to be, you know,
I know, but I'm just saying can have a software.
We could be narrowing it down to find that, yes.
Can it be when you do it at the same time all the time?
Mm-hmm.
Of the year, so you would know if you moved that time.
Correct.
Did that, it could affect it.
Yep, you are absolutely right there. But yeah, we try to read on the first of the month. We try to do the first 2 weeks of the every other month for the reads, and billing would be the opposite month on the first of the month.
So something kind of like they discussed at the YBSD board meeting, the water billing for like say a multi-unit strip mall, they have one meter, or are there individual meters per?
Depends on how they were set up. Many of them do have 1 meter. So we're accounting for the water. YBSD wasn't getting there.
They weren't getting up for each...
Each drain.
Each drain, yeah. Okay.
So that's why they split that off, yes.
Right, right. They explained that to me.
Yeah, there. So they are, we are still accounting for all the water through the 1 meter.
Through the 1 meter.
So it's hard to track water loss, Ken, but yeah. You know, we do. They do put it in buckets. So there is a specific program through AWWA, it's an N36 manual. I don't want to bore you with more detail than that, but it does put it into 3 different categories, and we've been working and attacking a couple of those categories, and the one that we really haven't is the data in the meters, you know, on the you know, the residential side, if you will. And my staff noted in reviewing the data that there seemed like just a tremendous amount of inconsistencies and things bouncing around, and perhaps a tremendous amount of inaccuracy, you know, which would just lead to the, you know, numbers bouncing around all over the place. So, you know, by moving forward, that data should be more accurate. We're able to pull that data more accurately on the dates where we need to pull them, where we're currently challenged to be able to do that. So it's going to be, you know, an ongoing battle, you know, we've got to continue to press forward and attack those areas where we're really proficient.
So if this was down the road, what would happen, in particular with this reading this year? Let's say we were past down the road where we're in Lake Michigan water.
We would be required to make a non-revenue water loss reduction plan that would get approved by the IDNR, which would probably be more water main replacement. That's what they're big on is. Just replace water main, replace this, replace that. So it becomes a very expensive.
That's why I was trying to get a feel for what's the penalty or their solution.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. So we have a plan now, which we are following. But if it were to happen in the future, yes, they would require that as well. And Eric's exactly right. Their standard answer is replace more water main.
Yeah,
or to shut your water off.
We don't. You know, they're not going to force do that, but you know, they could.
Charge a higher rate. I think there's some penalties.
So you end up having to pay a higher rate for your water.
But you pay penalties. I don't know necessarily a higher rate. It ends up being a higher rate. Well, pay penalties.
Yeah.
Based on the data, are you able to kind of pinpoint where some of the anomalies are coming from based on wells or towers or?
Well, we think it's individual meters.
Off a little.
Yeah. So it's not like one tower is like.
That's what I was just wondering too.
Yeah, no.
We think the masters appear accurate.
Yeah.
It's more the individual residential meters is probably that's what we're suggesting to replace.
Yeah, we're up almost to 8,000 accounts now.
Yeah. Well, since you guys haven't ruled out that it's a billing issue, like what's it take to rule that out or confirm it one way or the other? That seems like a lot less of an undertaking than, you know, replacing a bunch of meters. I know we have to do that anyway, but like it might
slow it down.
Yeah,
I believe we can look into that third party audit.
Yeah,
and I think that probably will give us some more specific places to look. Like not just say, hey, it could be billing, it could be metering. They could be like, okay, look at your residential. Now here, this doesn't make sense, or here, this doesn't make sense. They get in there and really scrutinize it.
Is there a ballpark cost for that? Or?
I don't. Brad may be able to get one. Michelle, one of Brad's associates, is very familiar with this, and I'm sure we can get one.
Michelle does training for communities. She's done dozens of training events, and I know she knows of third-party folks, and she's the one that wrote the memo and suggested it. So I will ask, and we will work with Rob to take a look at that
So just kind of throwing something out there. With the new water mains being done in my subdivision, I've taken probably 20 calls from people saying that their water usage is higher than what they've ever been with new water meters and the same amount of people in their homes.
Water usage or water bill?
They know the bill went up, but their actual usage, their cubic foot usage has gone up.
We need to replace meters.
I'm just wondering if there's some type of with newer mains, higher pressure, would that cause any faultiness with the meter?
Don't know. I that would be something that we'd probably have to study for another, you know, over a longer period of time to see if there's a trend that way. or if it's just because they're watering new grass because their grass out front was, you know, part of that project.
Well, I told them to do water, but he's knocked all the rust out of the old.
There you go. You're getting more water. Right. You're getting more water.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it just, you'd have to study that over time, but they still have to turn the faucet on or, you know,
sure.
You know, to use right. it. So, the really, the pressure difference would be minimal.
Have you communicated with the other Montgomery and Oswego, and are they seeing the same kind of things? Well, I know, like, Montgomery was out the roof, but
yeah,
so this number would be good to them, but...
Yeah, so we're not really with Oswego, so I don't know what their numbers are, but at least initially they thought they were below 10%, but I don't know what they currently are.
I think they still think that, and they just did a meter change out for their whole town.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So Montgomery, they had some pretty dire numbers. They were pushing 25 to 30% water loss, and if you recall, I know it's been thrown out, they were doing $90 to $100 million worth of water main replacement to try to get below that 10%. They're actually delaying their time to connect to Lake Michigan a couple years to try to get in front of that. But they've been investigating it hot and heavy, and they have found all sorts of errors.
Older.
They found pretty significant errors at their water treatment plants, at a couple different businesses. They are being aggressive on their water main replacements. That number has come down quite a bit preliminarily, and that number I don't think has been shared with the village board, but they have seen a positive trend, but they've been very aggressive.
And they've been high, so it may look like it's, you know, the level we're at, it might be more this kind of thing versus up here in the world.
Yeah.
That's why I was more than that, or Oswego maybe if they...
Yep.
Questions?
Good.
So
more to come.
Is this like an information?
It's just an
informational.
Does this get shared to all the enrollment too, or do they have to come and look it up?
They can look it up, but we can absolutely share it.
I want you to share it in the city council packet at least, so they can, you know, if they have questions or anything, they could ask them at some point. Okay. Item 9, PW 2024-61, Route 126 Water Main Improvements Design Engineering Agreement.
Yep. Give me one second. My computer decided to go to sleep. This is, if you remember last month, we talked about this in conjunction with that south receiving station. This is the water main that connects that south receiving station into our system. And it actually goes along with an earlier agenda item of the easement. This will connect to that water main that goes into Timber Ridge. So this is also, I believe, Brad, is this on the WIFIA program?
Yes, it is.
And that's why we moved this up a year, because of the land acquisition and the time it takes to do this per the WIFIA rules. So it was scheduled for next year in FY26. We moved it up to FY25. That's why we will be over the budget this year for that, but overall, in the big scheme of things, we're going to be under the budget, according to Rob and what I looked up as well. This will keep us on track. This should be in the ground and ready to go when we get the water connection here from DWC, so we will be ready to provide water. I'm glad to take any questions.
Good.
Okay. Yeah. Was this the tall screen one we talked about, right?
That's coming right up next, the standpipe.
Okay.
This is the actual water main that takes it from that standpipe to the system.
Okay.
So, 9 and 10 are kind of joint?
Yes. Is everybody okay with the water main design?
Yep.
Okay. That's on the north side.
Correct.
Yeah, but the 9 and 10 are the south side.
Correct.
Yeah, 9 was 126, 10 is the north, and 11 is the south receiving and north water storage tank, 10 and 11.
Okay.
We'll just put this on the regular agenda in case there's other questions. Okay, 10 then. PW 2024-62, Lake Michigan South Receiving Station standpipe design engineering.
Absolutely. This I'm hoping the final piece in this puzzle of the South Receiving Station, besides the land acquisition, will be coming back for that as well. But this is the design of the standpipe. This will be the first standpipe that Yorkville has had. Everything else has been an elevated water storage tank, so this is something new and exciting. Made for this site because of the economics of it and the elevation. It's going to work best for us to pump into the rain tree zone and to pump, not to pump, but the gravity flow down into that south zone. The standpipe will allow us to use that top third to float down into the zone, and the other two thirds will have to push up to the rain tree, since rain tree is so much higher than anywhere else. This has a cost of a fixed fee cost of $219, and then a direct cost of, I believe, $30,966. And that I believe is also
okay.
Testing as well, I believe. Is it testing on this one? No, it's a WIFIA. It's WIFIA.
Yeah, it's WIFIA.
It's okay. WIFIA. Thanks, Ken. Any questions?
Okay, we'll go forward with this and put it on regular. Yeah, put all these since we're spending these are big chunks.
Yeah, you bet.
New business, or item 11, PW 2024-63, Northwest Elevated Water Storage Tank Design Engineering Agreement.
Basically the same thing on the total opposite end of town. We're looking actually at a site up at the northwest corner of the Bright Farm site. So, this is a little more money for the design because I believe there also is a little bit of water main design to get it from the corner of Alderman and Cornelius up to the site. And also, this is the state revolving loan funds that we're going for. So you'll see the direct costs are a lot less. So I believe that's just for the survey work that has to be done for the water main actual placement along Alderman Road.
So this is the state?
State revolving loan, SRF funds, the state revolving loan funds.
With the potential development out in that corridor, are we satisfied that this would be enough to supply?
Yeah, this is going to be a 2 million gallon tank, so yes. Yes, yes.
Even if all that goes through, we're not.
Well, there may be a need for more.
Right.
This satisfies our need. So with the connection to Lake Michigan, they require 2 days
every day
storage. So with the addition of the 2 million gallons, we'll be able to meet their requirements, and then some, into the future. So there would have to be a significant amount of additional development to trigger another tank. Somewhat depends on where that development occurs as well. We think we're in pretty good shape and a pretty good location. To be able to serve a pretty large area there. And as Eric mentioned, the things are looking positive for a site. There's been some positive results coming back from our discussions with Bright Farms. I'm meeting with Bright Farms on Thursday to try to nail down some more elements. Things are moving in the right direction from that perspective. And this is with state revolving loan funds, which has a tight timeline. We need to be out the bid by January. Somewhat critical to find a site so we can move forward. So it'll be a very aggressive design schedule to move it ahead.
With the possibility of that happening, would it be more cost effective to possibly build bigger than what we need currently versus having the future in the event we do?
Well, you want to be careful on overbuilding storage because then it becomes stagnant, becomes an operational issue. So, I mean, the amount of storage carries us out to 2050. So it's a, you know, we're significantly out there from our storage needs, and we feel it's definitely in a good location. So, you know, we can do a double check before, you know, we finalize design, but at the moment we think we're fine. And, you know, with the spheroid design too, I think we're limited. 2 million is a max, I believe, if I remember my tank design days. So I think we're maxed out is what we're trying to do.
Because I'd like to see some numbers based on if that goes to a total build-out, what each one would use versus, you know.
No, I think we can do a grab, but I think there's so many different styles now that use either the chillers, less water, or even
sure.
air. So we have storage now, like Brad said, up to 2050, which is really, that's great. I mean, I'm happy with that. That's a good number, and that actually gives us a lot of cushion.
But that wasn't taken into account those development, or was
it? No, but it takes into account some of that development that's there, plus the needs, plus our future needs. So we will have that cushion to be able to build in plenty of time if it does fully develop out there. I don't think we'll be pinched or behind. I think we'll be well ahead of that.
Did we choose Els Main Road for because of the future developments, or like I guess why? We build these tanks on like where 8-9 is, or in Bristol Bay where there's already standing towers.
Yeah, so there's, you know, there is a little bit of a, well, certainly there's a science and a method behind locating your tanks. So we wanted a tank out in that area to help, you know, buffer some of the demands with some of the proposed development that's going to occur in that area. Also is able to help supply fire flow in case of need, and help, you know, really push water if needed to an industrial related area. So you don't want to have tanks too close to each other because there's not a lot of benefit to the operations of the system. So you want to kind of spread them out into, you know, kind of put them in areas of where you might think there might be peak water.
Once we hook up to Lake Michigan Water, I thought we were using our current towers.
We are using our current towers. We're not using our water treatment plants.
Oh, yeah.
So you store your storage.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we'll be using the existing storage.
Think of rain bins.
Yeah.
Gotcha. I thought we weren't using the old ones, and we're building new tanks.
Nope, they will remain in use. Yep.
So that's
all
right.
Okay.
With the capabilities of turning the wheels on if we had to in the event of emergency,
yeah, correct?
Correct.
Absolutely.
For some reason, they blew up the line or something. We back to the wells.
We have to turn them. We have to turn the wells on every 30 days to test them as well, to keep them in compliance with the IEPA.
So, kind of follow up on that though. So, if this one's over there off of Cornelius, let's say down the road in the future they need water on the other side of Elderman and they're going to buy it off of us. That's a big chunk over there. That's what the Microsoft one, right?
Yes.
So would that require another well too, or another tower too, to sell, the, you know, to store the water to sell to them? Or how would that work, just the logistics of that?
Yeah, so yeah, demand is not necessarily related to storage, so it's more related to supply. So you want to have storage to maintain, you know, an average day in case you have a, you know, a problem. It's also there for fire flow. You want to be able to push a certain amount of water over a 3-hour period to make sure you're able to, you know, to do that. And it's also there to kind of help stabilize the pressure. So it's kind of a combination of both, Ken, but it's probably more of an ability to serve it with supply. So that would be an adjustment to our allocation with IDNR. That's probably the bigger question to address your comment there.
Well, then if we're going to be the supplier for that, could you actually go and put the tower on the other side then, the other property, or not? Would you do that, or
well, sure.
I guess that seems like it get complicated really quick.
Well, I think there's even more complication because I think our boundary agreement with Plano is Elder Main Road.
Right.
So that would almost preclude us from doing that without.
But what if they came to us and they want to buy it off of us, the water?
Oh, we that's a I don't think we're allowed to sell it the Lake Michigan allocation. I think we would have to go back and amend our application.
Well, I think, yeah, we would have to do that.
We would have to amend our application.
Because that's not planned currently in our application.
Right, right.
But it would be city council decision.
Right.
Typically, you would annex the property, or at least that's been the policy.
Well, so then that would get really
As I
correct.
Recall, you know, you don't supply folks unless they're annexed into the city, so, you know, that's just higher level policy decisions.
Yeah.
Okay. I know, because I had that conversation with someone, and like,
yeah.
Well, I guess if they really needed it over there, and it's cheaper to buy it off of us than...
Yeah, I think
it
just
has to be in place to bring
from an engineering and public works side. Yeah, we could do it, but it's, you know, it's
from an alderman and mayor side. It's a totally different decision.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
It would be policy-driven.
Yeah, that'd be policy-driven.
Okay, that's what I was just kind of wondering about.
Another thing to remember is that's our highest pressure zone on the north. We can flow that water all the way down to the other side of the river just by using gravity. So if we started up on top, we don't have to constantly push water uphill. We can start it up top. Just let it flow down naturally.
Okay.
We try to use gravity as much as we can.
I was just trying to get a feel for like where we would need tanks or towers. So,
and we do have, you know, a nice big one there at Bristol Bay. That's a 1.25 million gallon tank already up there. So we do have a lot of storage up in that area as well. And that's close to that corridor that everybody's talking about. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and just. Because I'm trying to really keep tabs on this stuff now.
Yeah.
So if it's a state rep loan, what kind of category, where would I, what, you know, I'd see the WIFIA stuff on here, but where would that be like? Would it be a...
It like should be its own line item in there.
So we haven't completed that.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's
this
updated.
Is the, yeah, it's not the updated one. This is from the last
So meeting. It wouldn't be in one of these categories?
No, we're still updating
okay.
it, so that's still not complete yet.
Okay.
Yeah, so the SRF funding is relatively new, like mm-hmm. within the last 30, 45 days. So, yeah, that's just probably hasn't.
So at some point, that would show up as
yes.
an SRF. So
correct.
Like with it shows up the WIFIA.
Right.
Correct.
Okay. Right. Right. Right now, Ken, there is a budget line item number for this. It's just DWC water sourcing.
But that's the.
But that's on there then.
Yeah, it's on there. It's just
uh-huh.
it's not allocated SRF.
Yeah, so you basically have two projects that are going to be funded through the Loan-Interest Loan. It's the receiving station at the north site and this northwest tank. Those are the two projects. Everything else will be with you.
Okay.
Perfect.
Anything else? Okay. So yeah, put this on the regular agenda too. Item 12, PW 2024-64, YBSD. Water main extension contract award.
All right, so this kind of ties into the intergovernmental agreement, which was approved, I believe, at the last, two city council meetings ago, where YBSD, they need water main extended to their site across the creek to be able to meet the needs of their new buildings and infrastructure over there. So they're responsible for the majority of the costs related to this, and the city did ask for the water main to be upsized from an 8 to a 12. I think it was 13%.
13%, yep.
Using the city's responsibility. So this is the bid related to that work. So we took bids in June, and it requires a little bit more detailed discussion than we normally do with bidding projects here. So the low bidder was somebody that we worked with, Stokes Excavating, back in 2021. They did some work on Elizabeth Street and Apple Tree Court. And the performance just didn't meet our typical standards. And we tried to bullet point some of those issues out. One is that their production was just really slow, extremely slow. And just extended the job out substantially longer than what it needed to be. The completion of the punch list was probably, so it was completed, I think, in 2021. Started early in the summer, extended into the fall. The restoration wasn't completed until the fall of 22. So it was difficult to complete the punch list items. They were fairly non-responsive. Just kind of painful. And, you know, just the management of the overall, you know, tasks to complete the paving, to complete the landscaping that was just referenced, to put in the water services was just, you know, difficult. You know, Eric, you can chime in if you would like.
Yep, and this is a much more nuanced project going through Blackberry Creek, down a very steep hill in JC Pond, under River Road. It's something we can't mess around with somebody who's going to show up and do 20 feet of pipe a day. To just put it bluntly, the production wasn't there, the communication wasn't there, and the follow through wasn't there. And this project especially, I mean, we're having another meeting with the Army Corps of Engineers, I believe you are, this Thursday,
tomorrow.
Yet another one, because the Blackberry Creek is a high quality stream, and there has to be special procedures done to cross that stream and do it correctly. So, you know, they did not have a good track record. I am for awarding this bid to the next bidder, which was Winninger Excavating. And one thing Brad did not mention is, and this has never happened in the entire time that I've been here with Brad's firm, is they had to come back and ask for additional funds because the engineering funds ran out. Because that contract just took so long, they were still putting in water main and they had used all the time and money that was allotted for the contract. And that's something that doesn't happen.
So yeah, as Eric noted, we are recommending award to the second lowest bidder. The city does have the right, that language is written in to the bidding documents. You can choose to award it to anyone that you so choose. Typically, you know, you have to have some reasons why. So we've done this here in the city. I've been, you know, part of this elsewhere.
Yep.
We did review this with Kathy and made sure that she was comfortable with it, and she is. And, you know, we're in full support of moving forward with our recommendation. So, the second lowest bidder is Winninger in a slightly higher amount, but we feel it's appropriate in this case.
And yet still under the engineer's estimate.
That would be my next question.
Yeah.
I think the last time we did this was with a pump that we had to rebuild a few years ago.
It was a Byron Jackson, yes.
Yeah.
It was a well.
So it's something that we have done recently too. Not go with the lowest bidder.
No.
Does this take supermajority then? That's what I thought. So.
Do we have all our bases covered legally, or they can just think about it?
Yeah. Same. Yeah.
All right. Full agreement.
All right. It's half a million, so let's put that on the regular agenda.
So, real brief, as Eric did allude to it. So, in most cases, when you cross a street, it's a relatively simple permitting process. So, typically, you get what's called a nationwide permit through the Army Corps. It's relatively simple. And we had, you know, crossed Blackberry Creek before. That's, you know, what we had done. So after we had submitted that permit, they came back, and just as we were bidding the project, Blackberry Creek, which is good, is now listed as a biologically significant stream. So it's fantastic because of the good water quality. Not so good when you're trying to get a permit. So there were some additional hoops that we had to jump through. Some additional permit applications that we had to submit, and we've been trying to get a meeting with the Army Corps to determine exactly what we need to do to get that permit. Well, that meeting is tomorrow. So we'll see what tomorrow brings. If it's something crazy and out of left field, you might not see it on the agenda, and until we figure out what exactly we have to do, but it is relatively simple. We'll definitely recommend continuing forward with the board.
And these two items here, since it's YBSD, it has nothing to do with the Lake Michigan stuff, right?
Correct.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay, item 13, PW2024-65, YBSD Water Main Extension Construction Engineering.
This is the standard engineering agreement to have EEI watch over the construction of the project we just mentioned. I believe it is an hourly rate, so it's estimated at $49,928, with the direct cost being $25,000. And I believe this is for the I believe there's some fish monitoring, there's some testing that we have to do, and I think that was it.
Yeah, there's some additional bells and whistles that are needed from
our some longer testing and
because of the previously mentioned significant strain.
Wetland monitoring as well and maintenance. That's what it was. I don't think there's anything else special in the contract besides that.
Pretty straightforward.
And this too is only 13% our cost. YBSD is paying for 87% of this.
Good. Okay. Good too. Since that other item could be an iffy one, should we just keep them both together on regular agenda instead of trying to do it?
Yeah, I think that
makes sense, right? That way, if they table one, they table both those two items.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because I'm assuming they would go hand in hand.
Okay. Yes.
All right, so regular agenda. Any old business? I don't see any additional business. Anybody have anything?
We kind of lucked out in the storm cleanup. We had very few trees down. There is still some in Grand Reserve that we will be getting tomorrow. But we really lucked out. It sounds like the start of the Oswego official tornado that touched down had to be really close to Grand Reserve. You can see where it went right through the park and then went right through the entrance and out, and it was probably 10 or 12 trees.
Chris
McCullough. Yeah.
Yeah.
Finally.
I got questions.
Yeah. If there's nothing else, we'll call a meeting closed at 6:50.